Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi guys, I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture.
And I'm Andy Murray from What Culture, here with my precious picture of The Rock. Anyway, coming up today, I'm going to tell you all about John Cena getting married. What a lovely man. And on top of that, I'm going to tell you all about Andrade's WWE future after he went undrafted in the, well, draft.
Plus our WWE reusing footage of fans. And I've got an update on Matt Hardy's future in AEW and who he's going to feud with next. This is the news.
Let's kick things off. You know, 2 years ago, one of my very first videos on this channel, I posed the following question. The couple issued a joint statement for US Weekly this Sunday, stating that while it was a difficult decision, they still had a great deal of love and respect for one another, which begs the question, is love a work? And today, we can categorically answer without a shadow of a doubt that no, love is not a work. John Cena has gotten married to his partner of a year, 2 years. They started dating in 2019. Do the maths, I cannot. Shea Shariatzadeh. They got married in Tampa, Florida on Monday. PW Insider were the first people to report this. They were then followed up by reports from E! News and TMZ corroborating everything. It is described as a secret ceremony. There are no further details on top of that. But they've been dating since 2019. There were rumors earlier this year in February that they'd become engaged because Shay was caught with a ring on her finger while the two were on tour in San Diego. Cena posted something really weird with like a love heart or something, like the sweetie or whatever, to Instagram, as he's known to do. They filed for the marriage certificate earlier this month, according to TMZ. Congratulations to the happy couple. I mean, really, there's not a whole lot to pick apart here. This is Cena's second marriage. He was divorced in 2012. He, of course, famously proposed to Nikki Bella in the ring at WrestleMania 33, and then they were split up by the following year. Nikki Bella is now engaged to be married to her new partner, whose name I've completely forgotten. I am very sorry. But congratulations to John and Shay. Do you think he wore jorts at the ceremony? I think that's a distinct possibility.
Yeah, no question. That's definitely what happened. And we love here at What Culture. It may not look like it sometimes, but congratulations to everyone. Like you say, Nikki Bella has moved on. She's got a kid. She's got engaged. John is now happily married. It's just wonderful. I suppose the only big takeaway from all this is that The Miz and Maryse could have won that match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And like, it would have made so much more sense. And still really annoys me.
It was a setup for a wedding proposal, wasn't it? All the things you could set up, the big payoff was Juicy John getting, hey, but look, I love John Cena, man. I'm all like, you know, he's a bit of a goofball, but when he's fanning around with his jorts and his Technicolor t-shirts and the little stupid towel that says, don't give up or whatever, hey, good for him. He deserves to be happy.
Exactly. Just congratulations to both of them and to Nikki and her partner as well. Everyone's happy. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. let's move on though and talk about an interesting story developing around WWE reusing footage of fans, especially for episodes of NXT. This was spotted actually by WWE and AEW fan Jessie Davin. She tweeted last night whilst watching Dynamite that they were reusing footage of her on NXT. You could see it when they did a shot of Breezango watching that number one contenders tag match. And she was like, oh, I'm not watching NXT. I'm not in the crowd. I'm watching the anniversary episode of AEW Dynamite. Now, she didn't have a problem with them reusing the footage. And Fightful Select have also reported that previously fans have said that they've been seen in the crowd when they weren't actually watching Raw or SmackDown or whatever it is that they are watching. WWE hasn't opened the whole digital signups thing for the CWC, for NXT, basically. They have allowed selected live fans back into the building for these shows, but it does seem to be that the video walls are populated by previous streams, basically. Weird to find this out, Andy, but not completely surprising. And, I mean, not that much of an issue, I suppose.
Nah, it's more interesting than a big deal, really. I think, like, when the news came out that they weren't opening signups, I just figured they were doing an invite thing, as they've done with the attendees, like, you know, friends and family or whatever. But, no, it sounds like they're just taking previous streams from the from the Thunderdome. It's kind of interesting. It feeds into the idea of, like, this kind of manufactured atmosphere, because the sounds that are being piped through the speakers in that building are not what's being replicated on the screen. So it's kind of an interesting thing to think about what's going on backstage there. Is Triple H deciding, hey, Road Dogg, you're not great at a lot of things, but I tell you what, when such and such comes out, you push this pop button, and when the heel comes out, you push the boo button. There was things like last week when Ember Moon was cutting that promo, and it was like the noise in the background was like someone was having a conversation at a train station. It was really strange. So it creates an interesting production situation. I just love the idea of Road Dogg sitting there hammering a pop button with a stupid mallet, however, controlling the crowd reactions from there. But, you know, yeah, it's a cool little snippet, I think.
I just like the time when they get stopped, they press the wrong button. It's all of the same person. It's all Jesse, David, or whoever it may be, just reacting to the one thing, or all shocked Undertaker guy.
I was going to say, if they put, just flip the wrong switch and it's all him, the greatest fan reaction of all time. Maybe we could get the guy in the Everton shirt as well. Why not? Mix it up.
He tweeted me the other day because I referenced him in that WWE audience members, as did shocked Undertaker guy. So nice. Friends of the channel.
I'm pretty sure Everton guy showed up on Dynamite last night in the stands.
Yeah, he did.
Please correct me if that's wrong. Shout outs to that dude. Let's Andrade, he's also a dude. Let's talk about him. So his future was kind of thrown up in the air a little bit. Lots of questions as to what the hell is going on with this dude when he was omitted from the draft. It was him and Mickey James. They were both part of the draft pool, but they were the only two people who were part of the pool who weren't picked. What happened? What's going on? We got a report here from Wrestling Inc.'s Raj Geary talking about why Andrade wasn't selected. The reason is that he has elected to undergo a minor surgical procedure. He's going to be away for about a month, and that's why he wasn't picked. Now, Mickey James recently confirmed that she has suffered a broken nose and is going to be off TV for a little while as well. We don't know for sure. We haven't had official confirmation that that is the reason she wasn't selected, but it's appropriate for Andrade. Now, with regards to Andrade's plans when he comes back, what they might do with him, PW Insider Mike Johnson, he has come through with a report suggesting that last week there was talk of sending him back to NXT. I think this is something that a lot of people would be very happy with. Andrade had his peak years in NXT. He was the NXT champion, of course. But it'll be interesting if he does that without Zelina Vega by his side, because linking with Vega, who's now on SmackDown, produced an immediate upturn for the guy. He was just kind of fanning around with suspenders and a stupid hat before that, but then they came together. She was like a business advisor. I can't remember the exact title shortly after his heel turn, and he went straight to the stars. I can't say moon because that's Cameron Grimes. I wonder how he'd fare on his own without Zelina Vega down there, but you know, can't really be much worse than his past few months on the main roster, in which he just loses all the time. So there we go.
Yeah, exactly. The fact he went undrafted, and I think in the previous draft he was like first or second round draft pick, speaks volumes of how they have handled him on the main roster. Of course, things are all still up in the air. On last night's NXT, they said they talked about Finn Balor's surgery and the fact that they're going to wait for the surgery, the swelling and surgery to be recovered from, and then they're going to make a decision about the NXT championship. I would love to have him come back and him be like, well, as I said, no NXT champion. Guess you're going to have to give it to one of the old gang who've held this title before. Or if Finn Balor says he's okay and you want to book a match for December's TakeOver, Finn Balor's in the ring saying, guess what, guys? I'm fine, right? Lights go down, lights come back up. I suggested this yesterday on the NXT preview podcast. And instead of ring ropes, it's just suspenders.
Boom.
Ooh, there's a tease. Also, got to give a quick mention to NXT for bringing back Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal for Halloween Havoc. Good luck to you, Candice LeRae and Johnny Gargano. They're going to be some tasty matches for the titles. Right, let's conclude by talking about what happened on last night's AEW Dynamite, specifically with regards to Matt Hardy. He thankfully announced last night that he has fully recovered from that awful bump he took at All Out, and said not only that, but he's ready to get back into the ring, get back into competition, at which point, whilst Tony Schiavone was chatting to him and him saying he was 100% healthy, surrounded, of course, by his family, on the screen, we saw loads of images of the different incarnations of Matt Hardy. They were set on fire, and Sammy Guevara revealed it was him who attacked Matt Hardy with the baseball bat backstage all those weeks ago when he was meant to be working with Private Party and helping them out when they had their tag team match. And he said their feud wasn't over until he sent Matt home for good. How do you feel about this one, Andy? Because you wrote the story about this, and I think you used a great word to describe this feud, which is snake bit from the beginning.
Yeah, it certainly feels that way, man. We had Sammy's suspension, obviously. That had nothing to do with the feud. That was something that happened a while ago. But, you know, it's the curse theory and all that stuff. Multiple injuries in this feud. The two head knocks. Hardy's was a bit more severe than Sammy getting busted open. And then, of course, what happened at All Out, which we don't need to go over again. We've done it a thousand times before. I'm not thrilled about the prospect of this being reprised, personally, but we'll see how it goes. That's
exactly
all I'll say.
And I can see that these two guys, you know, they're consummate pros, and they want to have that one good match to sort of redeem the whole thing, which is why I think they're doing it again.
Yeah.
And I think they can have that. I still have faith in these two. And yeah, I suppose if you're going to revisit something and play that bump on a loop to get the match over again, it's probably going to work if you want to book something for Full Gear, for example. Anyway,
exactly.
let's know your thoughts on that in the comments, and we'll move on to your Twitter questions at WhatCultureWWE. First question today comes from Total Views Official TV on Twitter, who says, the one good thing about the ongoing global bastard is that this year we get one less WWE pay-per-view from Saudi Arabia. Just being honest, mate, I use my wording carefully so you do not get demonetized. Thank you for that, first of all. My concern here with this statement slash question, which I'm going to jump off the back of it of, is, does that mean we're going to get like three or four Saudi shows next year?
I sincerely hope not. But I believe the contractual obligation is 2 a year, right? So whether or not that's going to back up and carry over into the next year, I couldn't tell you without insider knowledge of that contract, to be perfectly honest. I don't really feel comfortable in answering this question without knowing that. I don't have enough information to provide an informed opinion. It might not. I wish I could give you more, but I simply don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not, we don't even know if next year. It's like I'm just acting like, oh, 2021. It's fine. This is only a 2020 problem. It might not be.
Yeah,
it might
exactly.
not be, along with many other things. Right, let's move on to the second question today from Tyler Holloway. Says, good morning, gentlemen. Do you guys think that we'll see an unsanctioned match between Moxley and Kingston at Full Gear? Owen Abbey says hi, first of all. Good girl, Abby. But also, yeah, what do you reckon? Unsanctioned match, especially off the back of the title match last night. Jon Moxley retaining the AEW World title. Spoilers. Well, why are you watching the news?
Why are you watching the news?
I don't know what you're doing. And then getting attacked by Eddie Kingston, who seemed so nice beforehand.
Eddie Kingston, that lovely, huggable scamp that he is. Yeah, I mean, unsanctioned might be the way to go. We obviously had, it would be a nice bit of symmetry with the unsanctioned match last year with Kenny Omega and so forth. Kingston lost the previous match. He's won a couple of matches on Dark since then. But having an unsanctioned match is a good way to get around booking without using the rankings. It's a perfectly acceptable, logical, and believable way to do that. And the guys still have beef. Eddie is not letting this go. He has cut several promos on Dark where he's been like, Jon Moxley, I'm coming for you. So that might happen. I could definitely see them going down that route. And if you're going to put that match back together, that is the way to go. Presumably on that show, we might get the Young Bucks versus FTR headlining. So you don't necessarily need Moxley versus massive, huge name up there. And Eddie Kingston's great. I love Eddie Kingston. He's the best promo in the game for me, one of the best characters in the game, and a great wrestler as well. So I would be more than happy to see him take young Jonathan on another journey down the King's Road.
Yeah, never eliminated from the Casino Battle Royal, never tapped out, never submitted in his title match. He's got a very good claim to that. And we're also probably going to get Cody versus Darby Allin by the looks of things at Full Gear. I know Cody got another title defense against Orange Cassidy in a couple of weeks, but we're not that far away from Full Gear, and I could see it happening. And certainly, like you say, a better way to decide a number one contender rather than, I don't know, a tombola. Let's move on to the final question of today. It comes from Electric Woolapalooza, who says, giving it another go, I'm using today's hashtag positivity post to ask Adam Wilman and Andy Murray of What Culture what they feel has been the most positive thing about wrestling this year. Abby Taylor's curious about your aunt, curious about your answers too. Again, Abby Taylor, good girl. Most positive thing about wrestling, Andy?
In 2020, it's a tough one because so much bad stuff has happened. But for me, the moment I felt happiest about wrestling in 2020 was the Stadium Stampede match, because, you know, we were what, like 2 months deep into this whole mess. Everything sucked. Shows weren't popping like they used to. AEW was coming out of holding those shows in QT Marshall's gym, where it was just flat and weird, and nothing had quite settled in, nothing had adjusted. We were all just bemoaning the lack of crowds and not getting used to this thing. And then these guys just had one of the most fun matches and silly matches I've ever seen in my life. It was the perfect cathartic release at that point in time. It was the right balance of genuinely good and stupid entertainment. I thought it came along at the exact right moment for that time. Picked us up when we were being mopey, miserable gits. And since then, I've been able to look at wrestling in a much more positive light from a fan standpoint. You know, it's not the best match I've ever seen. Whatever. But it was great, and it was the perfect match for that moment.
Yeah, it was so enjoyable. I still remember the live stream of me and Phil just jaws on the floor watching that. And the most positive thing about wrestling this year, for me, actually came from probably one of the darkest moments from me this year, of course. Losing the friend of the channel, Shad Gaspard, who in his final act, such a hero he was, effectively sacrificed himself to save his son, told the rescuers to go and save him. It was a tough time for all of us here at What Culture and the whole wrestling community, but in particular, of course, his family. And I think the most positive thing that I thought came out of it was seeing people all come together and raise money for his family, whether it be through sales of T-shirts like this, which a load of us at What Culture bought and proudly wear, or just giving donations. I saw that we raised over, the wrestling community, I mean, generally, raised over £150,000. We had a goal of £100,000, over 150 grand for his family. It was a horrible thing to find out about, and I think the hardest thing I've ever had to report on this channel. But like I say, from the darkest moment came some real positivity and some real togetherness from the wrestling industry. So that, for me, was that. But do let us know your thoughts on the positive things from wrestling this year in the comments. And I'll leave today's and finally with All Elite Booking on Twitter, at Booking the Elite. Go and follow them. Go and like them. Go and check out all this, because they have made us our own Dark Order numbers and photos for joining the Dark Order. Myself, Andy Murray, Michael Sidgwick, Michael Hamflett, and Phil Chambers. Some great stuff on there. It's well worth checking out. I'm not going to say any more than that, because I'm booking the Elite on Twitter. Deserve the follows and the likes off the back of that, so go and check that out. And do let us know your thoughts on everything we discussed in the comments section below. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from. Daily Wrestling Podcast. Myself and the Daddy Boys reviewing AEW and NXT a little bit later on today. Plus, you can let us know your thoughts on Twitter questions and animal pictures on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there, follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for Happy Birthday Tama Tonga. But more importantly, happy birthday to a far superior tag team wrestler, Joey Abs.
I'm leaving that one alone. You can follow me at Adam Wilbur. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. But for now, thanks, Danny Murray. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you soon.
Look, all I'm saying is Gorillas of Destiny here, Mean Street Posse here.
Oh, God.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.